Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the one who overcomes the separation of death, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the resurrection chapter. St. Paul packs it full of good news and a whole bunch of great one-liners. The last enemy to be conquered is death. He has put all things under his feet. God will be all in all. And this isn't even touching the parts that our pericope gets so cleanly cut out, right? A good exegete could spend months preaching on just this chapter alone. And so a middling seminarian cannot hope to do it justice in a single sermon. So today I've decided to tell you a story about fruit. I like to garden, and like many fathers, I have inflicted my hobbies onto my children. And so last year on Vicarage, we planted a garden. We planted some herbs and some veggies, and we actually did some fruit. And it's technically fruit because it had the seeds on the insides. In case you didn't know, that's what makes a fruit a fruit. It's got the seeds on the inside. I'm an expert in these things. I have a child in second grade. And so we planted this garden. It was a great COVID activity. It gave the kids something to look forward to. It got us doing things with our hands, doing things together in the flesh. And it was good to, you know, just kind of touch grass, as the Zoomers say. And our crops, they did pretty well. We moved them inside during the winter months, and we even gave them names. We had Basil the Basil basking in the bathroom window. We had Selena the Celery stalking over the sink in the scullery. We spent a lot of time inside. But it was good to be a family together and do these things. And there was one other plant. We called him Jim. And Jim was a jalapeno fruit plant. And jalapenos are a fruit. The seeds are on the inside. And being a jalapeno, Jim preferred more direct sunlight. And so we took Jim and we put him in the spare room with the big window so he could get all the sun he needed. He was separated from us. And unfortunately, the name, you know, Jim the jalapeno fruit plant who lives in the spare room, it doesn't quite ring off the lips in the same way that those alliterative plants did before. So Jim was forgotten and separated from us who watered him. His leaves withered, his little white flowerets dried up into burial shrouds, and Jim the jalapeno died. Separation means death. Well, the girls were absolutely devastated, as you can imagine. It was very sad. There was this whole ordeal. They wanted to have a funeral for the fruit plant and bury the thing. I had to explain that plants aren't people, that not all flesh is the same, that God gives to each kind of seed its own body as he has chosen. There's one kind for humans, another kind for animals, another kind for birds, another kind for fish, and jalapeno fruit plants don't even make the list. Now, I didn't specify further at the time, but I could have continued as St. Paul did. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, and the glory of the heavenly is not like that of the earthly. There's a glory of the sun and a glory of the moon, and there's different glories for the stars, because star differs from star in glory. Each is a unique creation with unique glories. And human beings, well, we reflect God's glory in a different way than all the rest of creation. We were made in God's own image. And so this may surprise you, but you are of more value to God than a jalapeno fruit plant. You reflect a different kind of glory. But anyway, back to Jim, the jalapeno fruit plant. He was dead. And suddenly, this hobby which I had inflicted upon my children had become an infliction on myself. How could I explain what it means to be buried? I wish I would have been able to do that in that moment, because it would have prepared my children for what we would experience the following year. After a wonderful vicarage, we returned to the parsonage at my fieldwork congregation, where we've been living for 2 years, and it was good for the girls to return to a familiar garden. It was good to reunite with old friends in the flesh. But the pews were a little emptier. And not just because we had to keep everybody 6 feet apart, it was also because some bodies were 6 feet lower. During our year-long separation, 4 members had passed away because of COVID, died. 4 people could no longer be seen in the flesh. 4 families were now separated from their loved ones. That is what death is. It is the ultimate separation, the separation of soul from body, the unnatural separation. It runs contrary to our Creator's intention for us. Death does not see unique creations with unique glories. It sees only another victim to separate. Death is an enemy, and it has been an enemy ever since our first parents chose separation from God and separation from one another by eating that forbidden fruit. In Adam, all die. Those stark words remind us that we are powerless against that enemy of death. Our perishable flesh, for whatever glory it reflects, cannot overcome the separation of death. And so God Himself overcame that separation. He reunited Himself to His creation in the flesh. Jesus Christ took on a body. And yes, it's good news. We clap for it. That is awesome. He took on that flesh because He needed to join us, to grieve as we grieve, to mourn as we mourn. He was left to wither and dry in some old spare tomb, and yet His flesh did not wither and dry. He rose from the dead. He was sown in dishonor, but raised in dishonor. He was like a seed that burst forward with life from the dry earth of the tomb. And there is no greater comfort, no greater joy than knowing this, that God joined Himself to our perishable flesh, and therefore we have been joined to His imperishable life. His resurrection means our resurrection. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Brothers and sisters, Christ is the first fruits, and that makes you the second. He has overcome all separation, and nothing can separate you from His life, not your sins and not even death itself. And if you should ever have any doubts, what are baptism and the Lord's Supper if not God uniting us inseparably to Himself? In baptism, that life-giving water quenches our dried and withered souls. You are even restored to a rightful name. You are now Christian, the creature called to care for creation. And in the Lord's Supper, Christ is present in the flesh, so near to us that we can see, touch, smell, and taste him, even hear his good words for you. When St. Paul reflects on this good news and he thinks about what this resurrection means for us, he can't help but burst out in a hymn from his childhood. He references Psalm 8. He says, he has put all things under his feet. All the work of our great gardener's fingers, the moon and the stars, the sheep and the oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, all creation will be reunited to its proper order. How magnificent that day will be. We did not have a funeral for Jim the jalapeno fruit plant. It's not like he produced any fruit that had seeds anyways, but even if he had, we are about a different sort of planting. Take a look at the resurrection window behind me here. You'll notice that there's something down at the bottom, inside the crown of thorns, surrounded by death. It's a fruit. In particular, it's a pomegranate. I told you this was about fruit. Now, in some rabbinic traditions, pomegranates are thought to be the fruit in the Garden of Eden, that forbidden fruit. And that's as good a guess as any. The seeds are, after all, buried on the inside. And if you look closely, you'll see that the seeds of that pomegranate, they aren't staying put. The perishable flesh has died away, and the seeds of everlasting life are spreading forward into the world from where there once was only death. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. And this good news has to be shared. Some of us will be sent out into the world to do just that in about 63 days, 9 hours, and 35 minutes or so. Not that anyone is counting. Some of you have already been called to do this sort of sharing. You've been doing it for some time, and each of us, in whatever our vocations are, tend to some garden that God has given us. And in each of those gardens, we are encircled by death. That separation follows us and haunts us everywhere. But you have been made a unique creation with unique glories. And in this world of death, you, Christian called to care for creation, you get the privilege of planting, of watering, of sharing that seed of eternal life. You will not do this perfectly because you, like a middling seminarian, are a sinner. But you are never sent to do this work alone. You are inseparably linked to the life of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.